Welcome to Dads with Daughters. In this show, we spotlight dads, resources, and more to help you be the best dad you can be.
Welcome back to the Dads with Daughters podcast, where we bring you guests to be active participants in your daughters' lives, raising them to be strong, independent women. Really excited to have you back again this week. Every week, I love being able to sit down and talk to you about the journey that you are on with your daughters. It is an exciting time. It is an important time. And it is so important for you to be actively engaged in your daughter's lives and being willing to learn along with her and going on this journey along with her as well. Every week, I also love being able to have different people to share their experiences. We've had dads on the show. We've had moms on the show. We've had other people with tons of resources that are sharing those resources with you. And there are special moments when I have an opportunity to be able to have a father and a daughter on the show. And that's today what we're going to be doing. Today, I've got two great guests with us. Reverend Dr. Akil Ash Shakur is with us today. And his daughter, Jayla, is with us as well. And I'm really excited to have them here today to talk about their journey as father and daughter and to learn more from them. Akil, Jayla, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you much. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate you both being here. And I guess first and foremost, I want to turn the clock back in time, Akil. I want to have you go back. I want to go all the way back. I want to go back to that first moment that you found out that you were going to be a father to a daughter. What was going through your head?
Wow. Amazing. That is a trip down memory lane. I will say that. So the journey goes like this. My first son, which is the oldest, his name is Jabril. And so when I was in the Marine Corps serving active duty, one of my gunnery sergeants had a little daughter. And I was just so marveled that she was like 2 years old, but she was so affluent and her speech was just incredible. She can carry on a conversation. I just was like, from there, I kept asking him, like, what are you guys doing? He just said, he just told me that lesson. Just don't talk baby talk to them when they get older. So I had that in mind. But at the same time, our first child was a son. And let me tell you something. I think I forgot all about that I wanted a girl first. So here we are. We're living in Hollywood, Florida. And I tell you, we came home and I realized that, wow, it's finally happening. We're ready to have a girl. It was like, wow. Based off of my mother had a boy, girl, which I am the oldest and my sister was the youngest. And so I definitely wanted to complete that, at least have a girl and a boy in this lifetime. And now here it was. We're about to bring this little thing right here that we call Jayla into the world. And it was just so amazing. I can still see standing in the delivery room now. And even our oldest son was standing at the foot of the bed too. He was witnessing her come into the world as well. And that is just, I am doing a poor job being able to put it into words because I can never find the words for that.
Now, I hear from a lot of fathers that, especially with daughters, that there are times where there is fear. There's fear in raising daughters. And I hear that a lot from a lot of dads. And I guess for you, what was or is your biggest fear in raising a daughter?
Okay, we already get to the meat of this thing already. Yes. So my daughter and my wife contend that it is the same raising girls as it is boys. And I contend that it's not. There's a lot of protectiveness and no fault of her own, but I just have always just felt like, you know, that hedge of protection. If I can't be there, I'm always worried. Even when she was away in college, if I'm walking through the house at 2 o'clock in the morning and I think about her, she gets a call at 2 a.m. in the morning and still sometimes now. And she may say, Daddy, what in the world is going on? I said, oh, nothing. I'm good now. I just need to hear your voice. But you just always wonder about something happening. And maybe we shouldn't think that way, but you just always wonder. And with the boys, I feel like the boys can handle themselves. But, you know, the daughter is everything. She, you know, you think of her being left unprotected with no covering. And, you know, and I got to tell the truth here. And, you know, Chris, when we think about who we were as little boys, we understand why we worry about our little girls. So definitely.
And Jayla, how does that make you feel?
Well, you know what? Honestly, now, if you had been asking me this question probably about 4 years ago, I'd probably laugh and just think it was a joke. But in all seriousness, I think now, having grown into a woman, I do think that it's very interesting because it's true to it. You know, and I think the older you get as a young lady, you start to see the world more. You see men like dad, you know, you see men dad's age. You work with some of the men dad's age and just in that male group. And you start to pick up on how men think, how they speak, how they view themselves and how they view others and women as well. And it does, as a woman, I feel like, when you get older, it does make you be a little bit more grateful for that. And I've had different friends and associates in different groups who grew up without fathers and dads or what have you. And it's very interesting to hear the difference in the response to that question. So when you're younger, you always think, oh, sure. You know, if I didn't have my dad's just controlling me. But now looking back, it's like, wow, you know, fathers need their daughters and daughters honestly need their fathers. You know, they really, really, really do.
Now, Akil, one question that I have to throw out your way is that you're a busy guy.
Yes, sir.
And you and I were joking about this before we started today, but you dip your toe in a lot of different water and you've done a lot of different things in your career. And I guess first and foremost, what I want to get into here is, being as busy as you are, there's a balance that has to happen that you have to have in your life to be able to be that dad that you want to be. Talk to me about that road that you had to walk for you to be able to balance the things that you had going outside of the house, outside of the family unit, and how you balance that with what you wanted to be as a person inside the family unit.
It's easy now that I'm already doing it and I know the pattern that I set with the children. And I have what we call a three rule priority. And that three rule priority keeps me well balanced. And it goes, God, family, handle your business. God, family, handle your business. God, family, handle your business. I am a no-nonsense guy when it comes to my family is everything with me. And I teach them all the same. You can do everything in the world. And I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, but they were all raised. Can't is not in the vocabulary. I'm trying is not in the vocabulary. You're either doing it or you're not. And you can do. I'm a father that not just saying cliche is that you can do whatever you want to do. I'm a realist by saying, no, you can do it if you want to do it. That's just it. But God, family, handle your business. We don't compromise that at any point in life. And so whether if I get a call and I'm on the road, it's God, family, handle your business. That's how it goes. And it's really as simple as that. And I even when I counsel people, I talk to them about the same thing. And amazingly, it works.
And Jayla, I guess as you hear that and, you know, you think back to being raised in a family that is instilling that in you, talk to me about what that was like for you as a young girl moving into womanhood, becoming a woman, now reflecting back on what you have been taught and how that's helped you or hindered you, either way, in helping you to become who you are today?
So I do love that question because it is twofold. So based off what my dad was explaining is we have always in our household, even with the boys, made it about God. God is the center of everything. He's the head of everything. So the first father of the family is always going to be God. And that relationship is very important because, as I'm sure you know, because, you know, you explained you have children or a child as well, you know that parenting has also been said to be very difficult as well. And having God at the center of everything, sometimes when you don't understand your children or specifically your daughter, you look for answers too. So it's not just us as daughters wanting all the answers like, why does my dad understand? Like, he doesn't get it. Mom, she gets it, but dad, he just won't get it. I really feel like, you know, God holds the answers to relationship building. And a big part of relationship building is the communication piece. I feel like that's where a lot of times daughters, when they're being raised, it's that communication piece. It's, why won't dad understand me? Or does dad understand me? And then vice versa, does my daughter understand what I'm saying? Because it's one thing to say it sounds good and it does come off well, but a lot of time there's an age gap as well where it's a disconnect. We're still trying to be kids. We're wanting to do what's going on out in the world, especially when you attend like public schooling, you're faced with different things every day and it's tempting. But God being the head and the center of everything is always what kind of draws you back to your roots, which in the end goes based off of how you're raised, your teaching. And so fast forward to now, it's very eye-opening because everything I do in my daily life, it always reverts back to this one lesson that my dad taught me, and it's to take charge. And now when he first started saying this to me, I think I was probably midway through college. And every time I call him, I'm pumped, I'm in the mood, I'm in the spirit, and I'm like, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to kill this interview, Dad, I got the job, or what have you. And he's always like, listen, I have nothing else to say. Say your prayers, you know, talk to God about it and take charge. So recently, you know, it really has been on my mind and I'm like, what does it really mean to take charge? You know, and I just feel like as a female and, you know, as a woman and as a daughter, to me, it's like owning the room that you stand in. Whatever room you enter into, own the room. Like, you don't even have to know my name, but you should get the vibe of what I'm about, who I am, and the value that I hold. But so I think that a lot of times dads, they really bring that foundational piece where it's like, take charge. Like, I am who I am and I'm owning the room, well spoken. Like, you wouldn't even have to know my dad to know that I come from good reason just by speaking to me. So that's just, you know, a little bit of basically just his teachings and how they started to affect me over the years into now as, you know, a woman.
You know, Chris, can I just add to that? I'm fighting back tears right now. So you're about to get some real tears. I tell you, just hearing that, it's what every parent wants to hear. All the lessons that you've given in life. And what I have attempted to do, not build a machine, but, and by God, this is not excluding my wife, but what I'm saying is that what I have attempted to do is to lead by example. And what I mean by that is if they see and they've seen me not use excuses for where I am and the conditions that I'm in, that can't work, then if I show them that is possible, that, and that's all it is. So I started to say, you know how we had that phrase, think outside the box. Well, every time I find those cliches, I add to it. So instead of thinking, and instead of me raising them to think outside the box, I tell them to think beyond the outside of the box. You see, because thinking outside the box has a limitation, because once you're outside the box, you stop thinking. So I want you to think beyond the outside of the box. And then you create such a situation that you go from believing to knowing in God that it will work. Now, we're not even talking about manifesting it, but I stick to, if you create it in your mind and you see it in your mind, you can do it and it happens. And I'll probably end up touching up on that a little bit more. So even to hear her talk, understand, I'll back off here, but I didn't have that great confidence I had like that in school, even though I was popular playing sports and everything. It wasn't until I got into the Marine Corps and got all around the world that I had to build this up. And so what I realized was that you can be very confident and very assured in yourself without being conceited. And that's what I wanted to instill in them.
So Jayla, let's reflect back then. How did your dad help you to find that confidence in your life? You talked about that in college, it really kind of clicked. But think back to as you were younger and you were growing up with your brothers. What did Akil do to be able to help you to find that confidence? And I know it's not just Akil, because I know your mother as well. And I know that she is a part of the team. But talk to me about what your dad did specifically to help you to find that confidence to be the person that you are today.
I can honestly say I think it has a lot to do with the freedom of individualism. Parents, you guys talk a lot about how it's different raising all of your children, whether they're boys or girls. It's going to be different for each one, given being their personalities. So I think the freedom to have whatever personality we chose was the biggest thing for me. Like, I was more so of, you know, I was the only girl, I'm the middle child. And I was just full of personality. I'm singing this day, bouncing all across the house. The next day, I wanted to run outside and be with the boys. And I really think that it had a lot to do with giving us the freedom to experiment within our personalities. And I didn't always get it right. Even, like I said, growing up, I started to have issues with my identity, like just knowing who I was, being confident in who I was. And I can say for females, we experience a lot of that due to going to puberty, a lot of things that take effect going into our teenage years and then our young adult years. A lot of it has to do with just the phases of becoming an adult. And so my biggest thing was growing up, went through this gap in this period of time where I was like, okay, how do I become the young woman that I want to be while also adhering to what God will want me to be, what my parents will be proud of? Let's just be honest there as well. For me, identity was a big thing. And it was just, there were days when I was waking up and I was just like, I'm just not seeing it. Like, this can't be life. This can't be what it's like to kind of go through the phases of growing up and understanding who you are. And it took effect in my schooling. It took effect at home. And there were issues there. But, you know, one thing about it is, I think that as parents, and specifically having my dad around always since day one, is that to feel like you're not left alone. I think that's the biggest thing for me. Just having that male figure to know, like, you're loved, you're liked, that I'm not going to give up on you, because it's very easy. I know plenty of females who have dads, but their dads aren't there. I feel like not a lot of people talk about that. When we talk about, you may have a parent physically, but are they there? Are they hearing you? Is there a connect? So definitely freedom of individualism and that room to grow, the room to make mistakes, and then the room to learn from your mistakes. Once you hit that age bracket where it's kind of like, yeah, dad can't tell you what to do. Yeah, but you know, with the help of God, God is going to shape you up and lead you to where you need to be, and definitely give you some lessons when you're drifting off a little bit.
So she said something very important. It's always been a practice of mine that, not that I didn't care about them making mistakes. The rule was, I'm not concerned about if you make mistakes, as long as you can give me the evidence of why you chose what you chose. So that gives them the freedom. So if they did something and even it wasn't right, I wanted to hear the plan to how they got there, what made them and have a reason behind what they did. And that allowed them the freedom, to discover the world and life, but it also helped them start decision making. And then I was the crazy father knows best kid parent. You know, my thing was, it did sometimes I would literally put it in their hands and let them choose the punishment. And that worked. And God blessed us with three beautiful children that sometimes they even know if they said a punishment, they go, oh, nah, that's not justified by what I did. And so it worked that way. And then I had to play a few Marine Corps games on them. Sometimes I'd storm through the house like I'm about to tear everything to pieces. And then that did it enough. And I just turn around and walk away, and it leaves them thinking, oh my God. And the next time I'm just quiet. So, you know, is to keep it off balance, because again, we have to raise our children in such a way that it also presents the world. I didn't want to be overboard. I'm sure they can probably name some times they probably thought I was overboard. But if anything, I'll say this in the back off again, so much comes to mind. But I always told our children, and I even told my wife, I said, listen, and I know this is harsh, but I'd rather you hate me or dislike me for guiding you the right way than to love me for letting you do what you want to do, and knowing that's not the best way.
I love that. Now, Jayla, as I said before, your parents are both people that are involved in lots of different things. They have tried lots of different things, done lots of different things. And I know that. And I mentioned that already. So I know that they have had a lot of dreams for themselves, a lot of dreams for you. How did they instill in you to be a dreamer for the life that you want for your life?
You know, I feel like maybe that is probably the trickiest question you've asked me this whole time. And I say that only because I do think that as time goes on, we have to be honest that the world changes. And the way that life is set up now is not how life used to be set up. And I do think that now, like for me specifically, I have what they would call bigger dreams. And like back then, I'm sure you guys can relate. Back then, you were just wanting to be something. Like, man, I just got to make, I came up this way or I came up that way. And all I want to do is be successful. I need to have a good job to just be able to pay the bills. And that's great. But for me personally, I honestly have bigger dreams beyond my career. And I always like to make sure that there's a big differentiation, because what I do every day and the physical place that I go to, which in my case would be the bank, is bigger than that. And I have to even remind people at work, like, you see me showing up, I'm going to be punctual, I'm going to be on time, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be ready to work. But let's not get it twisted. There's more to Jayla. So right now in my life, I'm really big on my influencer type of world. And I have started now trending with these videos where I post, you know, where I'm getting ready for work. And I think, you know, the other day I was thinking and I said to myself, I said, isn't that something that for someone else looking on the outside in, they see it as, well, I mean, you're just making videos. But for me, I was like, it's actually deeper than this. Like, I actually got to wake up and be on time. So for me, I'm like, look at the lessons, look at those small lessons that follow you, you know. And dad and, you know, my parents, they've always been big on show up on time. It says a lot about you. And let's be real, no, every day we're not always perfect, but it tells a lot about who you are and what you're about. And so I said, it's also a form of discipline. So if there's something that I really want beyond just my career that has a lot to do with my entrepreneurial mind state, then it's very much possible that one day I can actually be in business for myself, whether that's a company, whether that's getting myself paid directly without there being a middleman. So those are my bigger dreams. Right now in my life, as I approach 25, I'm very well focused on using my corporate job to get me to where I need to be from the individual standpoint. And as you can see for yourself, that's what my parents are about as well. Everything that they do, they want to be impactful, but it's also them acting as an influencer. People sometimes attach to you based off of how you influence others. So you have the option. You can be a bad influencer and still influence others, or you can choose to be a great influencer and be of something worth value.
And Akil, I guess as you hear that, and you think about what intentionally you did to try to help your kids to realize those dreams, talk to me about that. What did you try to do on a daily basis, on an annual basis, on a yearly basis, or just in a day-to-day life to help your kids to be able to push them to think about those dreams in different ways?
So one of the things I did, I actually had a historical African-American book set that I actually purchased that probably about 3 or 4 years prior to even our first child born. And then each year I just build on top of that. So the children were, and when I say required, it was not the required where it was like mandatory, you have to read it by this time. It was that I always put a book in their hand. And it wasn't always like African-American history, but I'm very big on our culture, very big on self-improvement. And so the other thing is having world knowledge. I developed this thing too, that wherever I go, I always read something. You don't have to read it all, but you just read. There are a lot of signs and pictures around. You just read it. If you just read 3 sentences off, maybe like 3 or 4 sentences off of it and move on, you'd be surprised how much knowledge you're gathering. And so, and with each child, just talking about our oldest son the other day. And so with that, including Jayla, so our oldest son, it clicked for him. He got cut from the middle school basketball team in like 7th grade. So first time we've had what they would call a failure. And so, but when he came out, I was like, oh my God, Lord, I am not prepared for this. And so when he got in, I could see it all on his face. So I had to quickly come up with something. And what God gave me was, I asked him, I said, is there anything that you think that you could have done better? And he just turned to me and he was like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I could have worked on this. And then I just simply said, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the reason you didn't make the team. And something so small, when I tell you that it infected his life in such a positive way that this kid never stayed in the house again. He was always out doing it. Now, kinesiology major, he's a fitness, he's an influencer, started his own business. And we were talking about this the other day. He said that moment, he told me, he said that moment really defined everything. With Jayla, it was the same thing. She talked about her identity. Well, ooh, this was hard because even with Jayla, you talk about we moved from North Carolina to Michigan. She had only spent like 3 days in high school as a freshman. And then we moved here. So she went from a class of about, or school for about like 300 to 400 kids, and walked into Eastern with about 1700 kids, and she shut down. And I got to say this. So then she wanted to transfer, and the very school that she wanted to transfer to, only being a week, ended up having a shooting. And then she said, no, I want to stay at Eastern. And so we just had to keep working with her and instilling in her that, no, you were beautiful. And believe it or not, when you look at her now, to whomever's looking at her, she struggled wondering, was she beautiful enough compared to a lot of her friends? And just having that confidence, and that was it. So it was like, take charge. No, you are who you are. You're more than what you think you are. Take your eyes off other people. And then the other thing is that I want you to have a multiplicity of friends. We're not just locking down to one culture, one race, one nationality, the influence. And so all of our children, I guess that's us in them, have that ability to connect to a multiplicity of people. And she has the personality like me. She can walk into a field and somebody would think that she was talking to a scarecrow and she'd be talking to the ears of corn. And so that is the thing, even down to our youngest son. He's a very factual person. So if you say, no, it's only two left, he's like, no, it's actually 2.13.
Now, Jayla, you heard your dad just talk about the fact that, you know, he tried to build your self-confidence and the self-confidence of both your brothers. And I hear that a lot from other fathers, that, and I see it in my own daughters, that today it seems like the self-confidence of a lot of daughters, but also the, whether it's social media or other factors, are definitely are making an impact on the self-confidence that they have about themselves. As a influencer yourself, as someone that has moved on with your life and have found some more of that self-confidence for yourself, what do you say to other dads about this, about how they can best instill that self-confidence in their daughters?
So I would say, first and foremost, understanding that it can't just be you. The daughter's confidence is not going to just come from you solely. And I do believe that it's healthy, actually, for a lot of dads not to feel attacked when they do tell their daughters that they're beautiful and their daughters just don't see it. Let's just be honest. There will be many days where, you know, dad's just glorifying, you are so beautiful. Oh my God, you're so smart. You're this and you're that. And it's like, but that's not what the world's telling me. If I'm that, well, why am I not runner up? You know, and I think that it's important to, again, that understanding, like, take me inside of your world and allow me to see what you see as my daughter. And let's just be honest, sometimes you got to disassociate the father and daughter thing, because even for you guys, as a dad, it's easy for me to sit here and say, you know, dad, you've been the best dad ever. Like, dad, you're so awesome. And, you know, for what my dad does in acting, it's like, imagine him going and trying out or auditioning for the top dad role. Let's just say he's everything. He's awesome. And I'm telling him, dad, you got that. You got it, dad. Trust me. There's no dad topping you, dad. And then he goes in and they're just like, not quite. Something's just not, you know, to him, it's like, dang, well, my daughter's telling me I'm the best dad. It don't get no better than me. But let's just be honest. There's these self check boxes that we tend to check as individuals even. And so it does come with the mentality and the self-confidence. So it is about self at the end of the day. And there are things that dads can do with words of affirmation and actions of affirmation. So that is the biggest thing. Actions of affirmation conquers all of them. You know, words sometimes feel good, make us feel good, but actions are even better. So as daughters, we don't always want to, you know, hear that we're beautiful. You know, we want to see it. You know, we want to see it. Like, what does that mean to tell a daughter that she's beautiful? What do you see? You know, and for me, I feel like even too now in adulthood, I find the best value in understanding also the things that I don't do well, because I feel like that's honest. That's where that truth comes from. So my dad will tell you all the time, like, you know, if he gets on video chat with me or if he gets on FaceTime with me and I'm just not having a good day, I haven't rolled out of bed, I haven't combed my hair or anything, he's looking at me like, okay, what's going on? what is going on? This is not my daughter. And for me, it's just, you know, I just understand that that means like he sees me. He knows enough about me to know when I'm having a bad day, when something just isn't there. And then he can go in and provide that reassurance. Like, you know, you're doing it well. You're doing things right. You know, it's just something that comes with life. So like I said before, first and foremost, understanding that you guys as dads don't always have all the answers. Everything's not going to be perfect. You can't just, you know, say a thing or two and make it all better. Just trust the process.
That was amazing because, Chris, what I heard there and what I wanted to say, and it, oh my gracious, it prompted that, is to understand that these things that she talked about make us great dads. So if we didn't have the, if we didn't have the shy daughter, we didn't have the outgoing daughter, we didn't have the troubled daughter, we didn't have this type of daughter, we didn't have this, how would we grow? With the boys, we sort of got that. Not that we have it all down packed, but it's more relatable. With the girls are like mini wives. I know this is a dad and daughter, but I think about my wife. It's something that my wife tells them too. And she'll tell me and she'll just simply say, Jayla, what I always say? And what does mama always say? And who's going to tell you that it's not working? Who's going to tell you that it don't look good? And it's a mentality that you take on. And so seeing her just going at it and going after not just something, but naming it and going after it, that makes it's more than just proud. It lets us know that they are really coming into their own. And that's the most beautiful thing. It's not about whether you make multimillionaires or billionaires. The value in it is the success of what they want to accomplish, not with mom and dad. And that was what we did even with schooling. No, you do not have to be around you. Be around us when you go to school. Get as far away as you want. As long as they make planes, trains, and automobiles, we're good.
So true. Now, one of the things that I would love to hear from both of you is in this relationship that you've built over the years, there are opportunities to be able to have things that are unique to the two of you, things that you share together that are important to the two of you. What has been a favorite thing that the two of you share together that is unique to your relationship?
So, okay, one of the things is our craziness. It's just something about when we get together, we're going to cut up. It's just spontaneous. I was just telling her we were just down for my mother's funeral in December, and we were talking about, I said, wow. I miss us not being able to just be in the kitchen and start singing, you know, because she loves to sing. And honest to God, I told her, I remember telling her, like, this is some years ago, this is before she even left home. I told her, I said, you know, you're my favorite singer. And she thought I was joking, but it's just something about when she sings, it's like, you're my favorite singer. And in church a couple of weeks ago, a lady visited and she sung Eyes on the Sparrow. And that's the song that I love my daughter to sing. But when I tell you just endless laughter, it's like, nobody's trying to be pretty. We're not trying to be framed up. We develop a space to where we can really be ourselves. And I know that that's what we share, but I love to see her strength. I even love the pushback. I shouldn't have told her that here live, but I love the pushback because it tells me again that she's growing. And it also tells me that she does respect me because that's something that I instill. So my wife and I, we don't want them to think like us or to be like us. We want them to be way much better than us. And so that's the thing. I just love the freedom to where we can be across the room and I could just look at her and she look at me and we can just bust out laughing because we already know what the thought is.
And I'll add to that. Like Dad said, you know, it's personality. I know that you can agree too, Christopher, even with, you know, your daughter, that it's a personality match thing. Sometimes as parents, I know you see a lot of, you know, yourselves and your children. So I think for us, we just, like I said, we have just that down-to-earth relationship. It's not always perfect because it's a learning experience, but it's definitely one of those things where my dad's going to look back, even in the next couple of years, you know, as I approach 30, that's scary to say, but it's going to be interesting for him. It's going to be fun, growing experience. And then even when I move on to have children, oh, it's definitely going to be 10 times more interesting to see how my children take after the things that my parents have instilled in me. So I just think that as life goes on, you develop your own ways, but you also still, it's like you never detach from the parenting skills that have shown and how you were raised by your parents.
Now, we always finish our interviews with what I like to call our Fatherhood Five, where I ask you five more questions to delve deeper into you. And usually it's just the dad, but it's not going to be just the dad this time. We're going to ask both of you some questions. So Jayla, I'm going to start with you. In one word, what is fatherhood?
I'll say accountability. That is a tough word. It can be so harsh, but I will say accountability. And I feel like accountability only because if you relate it back to the real world, accountability always reverts back to you as an individual. How does what you produce, or I should say your seed, what does it reflect about you? What does it tell about you? What does it tell about the things that you do well? What does it tell about the thing that you still need a little bit more help with? And so no matter whether it's the good or whether it's the, you know, not so good, it's a lesson and in itself, and it's always that room for growth and development, as long as you're willing to take accountability within that process.
And Akil?
My word, normally I wouldn't use this word, but with describing God, and I'm going to say ubiquitous. And that is to be uniquely who you are all the time, everywhere, with the same power, with the same authority, and with the same strength. Because uniquely, no matter what, your family needs to see whom you are in all those situations. So whether it's hard, it's peaceful, it's stressful, they need to know. And I guess this goes back to the accountability part. They need to know, are you going to stand on what you say you stand on?
Now, Jayla, when was the time that you feel like your dad finally succeeded at being a father to a daughter?
So I will say a few years back, gosh, I would have been at that time still in middle school. I was in school and personality, right? You know your kids, all of them, and you know how they're different. So you know what they're capable of, what sounds like them and what doesn't sound like them. And I've always been a talker in class. Neither, you know, my brothers nor myself were the extreme disrespectful type. So we wouldn't be at school disrespecting adults. That's definitely not the case. So this particular incident, teacher calls dad specifically, and it's just like in a huge uproar. Like Jayla is just, she is just, it's not there. She's being rude. She's just saying things. She's just clowning off. She's acting like a pretty fool at school. And, you know, as much as I, in my head, I said to myself, and I remember telling my friends and my other cousins that went to the same school as me, I said, it's over with now. The teacher done spoke. So my boys don't even count. When the teacher calls dad, it's just going to be the adult's word. And I'm just going to sit over here in the corner and deal with the consequences. But actually, it actually didn't feel that way. He showed up. And again, communication and understanding, he listened. And then he also gave me the opportunity to speak. And for once, I felt heard and I felt like my voice mattered. So it also gave me the opportunity to be honest. Just let him know. I just said, hey, this is the type of day that the teacher was having. The teacher was actually very frustrated. And based off what you taught me, that if this is the case, then this is what should happen. And in so many words, like he said, what we would call in 2024, he stood on business and he basically addressed the situation for what it was. We raised Jayla to first and foremost always respect her adults, but all actions can't necessarily be respected. Because if you teach your children and you raise your children follow underneath, you know, God's teaching and God's word, we know that even adults, like all adults, don't follow that pathway. We've had, especially nowadays in time where teachers come to school and they're frustrated, they have real lives and they bring those burdens to school as well. And so that does affect sometimes how they incorporate that in education and being able to handle and deal with other people's children as well. And so he just touched a little bit on that and just said that these are the expectations that when we send our children to school, she's treated fairly, she's treated equally, she's heard just as you would want your children to be heard. And for once, literally in my younger days of living in middle school, I felt heard. And I enjoyed that part of his fatherhood and him being able to be there for me and give me a voice.
And what about you, Akil? What's the time that you feel like you finally succeeded as a father to a daughter?
I can't name a specific time right off. I'm sure if you gave me a little bit more time, but it would be surrounding an incident just like this. And so in other words, when the first or second or third time in a continuous behavior that she comes to me and has a conversation with me and she says, "Dad, I'm thinking about doing this. I want to do this." I felt accomplished then, because for your child, and yes, and I would go on the limb and say, especially your daughter, to feel, even though she has a little nervousness, that she felt that freedom and that comfort to know that she can come and talk to you about something. And let's just hit a hard topic. Our daughters with boyfriends and guys they may like to come and talk to us about why they make certain decisions, why they may want to make certain decisions. And it was beautiful. That was it. And I think one other time, as maybe a B-side to that, right before Jayla graduated with her bachelor's from Northwood, she wanted a car. I'll never forget this. And she ended up posting on Facebook probably a year before her. And I just happened to see the post. So I pick up the phone and I call her. I go, "So what's going on?" It's like, "Nothing, Daddy." I said, "Yeah, so I saw this picture that you posted, a car. So what's going on?" The out of that came, she had been looking for a car. And I was like, "Whoa, hold on. Let's think about this." And so we talked it out. And lo and behold, the very next year, she still hadn't graduated. But she told me, she said, "Dad, well, she called me now." And we had this very serious conversation. "What do you think about me buying a car now?" And so I told her, I said, "Well, listen, this is what's happening. I said, if you save your money, whatever you save, I'll match, and then we'll purchase a vehicle." Well, lo and behold, I met a gentleman that, you know, at the dealership. And anyway, so through talking, I talked to him a price range and everything. And he said, "Oh, no problem." Well, the first car I sent her, somebody ended up buying, or they didn't want to sell it or something to sometime. And anyway, we found it again. So I said, "Well, Jayla," I said, "oh, I found one. Nice car. It's clean. No lights on anything." And I said, "I'm sure of this." I said, "And here's the price." And she says, "Okay." And I said, "Well, understand now, you got to pay tags, insurance. I'll handle all of that stuff part for you, but got to have this. So do you at least have half of this?" She says, "Oh, I'm good. I got that." I said, "That didn't sound right." It's like, "What do you mean you got that?" She was like, "Oh, I'm good. I got that." I was like, "You mean you got half of that? Or you said?" She's like, "No, I got the whole thing." And I was like,
Christopher, I didn't blink.
Yeah. I said, "Are you serious?" So yeah. And so she literally bought and paid for in full her very first car. And that was when that was another level then that I realized. So we didn't know that the day we dropped her off at college, that she also started working probably that same week. And we didn't know that. She kept that as a secret. But I guess that business degree was really working.
I will add to that really briefly as we wrap up. It's very interesting because that was a very hard lesson in life. And I think this is really going to wrap up our conversation surrounding dads with daughters and just fatherhood as a whole, is that I contemplated that so much because the rule of thumb was always, you're not going to get a job, you're going to focus on studies, what have you. And I sat in that room all night long and I said, I got to get a job. I can't do it. I got to get this job. And so I said to myself, I said, I would be being rebellious because I would be getting a job without saying anything and doing it, even though I know that that wasn't the expectation. But I said to myself, I said, how cool will it be to prove my parents wrong, but also right at the same time? And just to touch base on that, the idea is that, you know, hey, you know, it gets to be overwhelming when you work a job and you go to school at the same time. People typically don't do well. But I think that just shows how cool your specific children are when they are able to conquer that. So I remember I finished that semester and the only thing I brought up was grades. And I said, you know what's going to be interesting is to not only show them that I got the grades, but how I got the grades and I was working full time at the same time. It was honestly like a cool experience for me because for once in my life, I got a chance to prove that, yes, I get this was the plan, but, you know, I can be trusted. Like I can work hard. That discipline is definitely to come. That won't be the first and last time that I may have to kind of like go a little bit around the parents. But in life, that's just how things end up. Sometimes you don't expect, you know, your children to go certain paths. Even like I said, for the oldest, even dad'll tell you, it's just that we don't always go the route that you think we're going to end up going. But either way, we come out on top. and successful.
And that right there, in a nutshell, that was exactly it. And so allowing them the space to grow, to use their ingenuity, that's exactly what we taught them. So it's beautiful to know that was it. That's another level of showing that, oh, they really got it. They really understand the assignment.
Now, Jayla, if I was to talk to you and your brothers, how would you guys all describe your dad?
I would actually say disciplined, but meaningful / purposeful. And just a little bit on that, I say strict / disciplined because his teachings, they seem harsh at first. Sometimes they seem a little way out there. And over the top, it does seem extreme, but I can honestly say it's so funny how it always comes full circle and it has a deeper purpose behind it. And, you know, the oldest, he has become just this scientifically factual person just as well as the youngest. And for myself, I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I'm not, you know, too big on the facts and the scientifics behind it. But after I finished my master's of science degree, it really taught me how to look at things for what they are in terms of experiment. And as you know, when you conduct the experiments, there's always these findings. So why this caused this? And I think that just goes back to what you put in is a big result of what you get out. So a lot of the things that he has instilled in us has developed and guided a lot of what we put into things. And full cycle, sure enough, it comes back, the great results that we have seemed to get throughout the journey of what we've been pursuing.
Now, Akil, who inspires you to be a better dad?
Life has just really done that. Having grown up, the oldest of two children, I say to people, they start laughing because they know my story, my children do. And I just say, and my wife. And I say, my biological parents, they separated and divorced when I was 6 or 7 years old. And I watched my mom do it. And my mom would literally go to work and survive off of, 25, 35 cent nabs and a soda. And I never knew that for all my life. But she always made sure we had. But the one thing that she always said, she told my sister and I, she says, don't ever let me hear you say you hate your dad because, she said your father. She says, regardless of what happens between us, your father is still your father. And that reigned with me through my life. And so it has always been with me because psychology tells you that you're basically going to be like your parent, or the man is going to be like your father. And my father has some strongholds and I didn't partake in those. And I remember being older, maybe about in my 30s. And there was another psychologist who was we were in an academy and he said this and I rebelled. I said, that's not true. I said, I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I have a great relationship with my family. So I said, that's not always true. So who inspires me to be better? My family. The last thing I want to do is fail my family, wife included.
Now, you both have given a lot of pieces of advice today, a lot of things that have helped both of you in the journeys that you've been on together. Jayla, as we finish up today, what's one piece of advice you'd want to give to every dad?
Be you. And I would say to be you, because there's nothing worse than a dad getting frustrated because he can't feel another dad's shoes. When you trust the process and you learn to be the dad that you're supposed to be, everything works out in the end. I feel like a lot of fathers go wrong when, you know, they follow that society's idea of, I gotta be the number one dad. Number one super dad. It's been like that for years. There's always been that, you know, that box where it's like, dads have to be perfect. Like, I've got to be perfect dad. I've got to be the dad that's just super nice and sweet all the time. I can't say anything. I can't discipline. I just got to be perfect. I've got to be light. And my dad touched on that a little bit earlier too, is you know, you don't always want to be the dad that's light, because I almost want to bet you that you're probably not going to get the best results always being the dad that's liked. So yeah, to just be you.
And Akil?
I think it goes just in those two words. I think when we look at that, and I'm sure you can relate to this, just in hearing dad versus your child or your daughter saying, this is my father, it does something right here in your spirit, right in your heart. Because a father is everything that we've talked about in this interview. That's not a dad. And so, as Jayla just said, no, I've never attempted to be like another man. I always think beyond the outside of the box. And I want to make the mold for myself, and everybody's position is unique. And so I want to be uniquely me and improve on me daily. And so I continue to develop ways to better myself and my family. And so still to this day, what I do periodically is I send them self-improvement messages as well, and affirmation. I still send those out. So the way that my mother always said, she says, despite how old you get, you're going to always be my baby.
Now, Jayla, I know you mentioned that you are becoming a social influencer. You're doing things out there. People are getting to know you in different ways outside of the work that you're doing at the bank. As we finish up today, if people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
Yes. So please follow me on Instagram at jayla.iman_, where you'll also find out that I am a full-time photographer as well. And I do travel occasionally as well for my very own business, Lady J Productions. And then you can also find me on TikTok at jayla.iman as well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And Akil, as I said before, you're busy. You're out there. If people want to find out more about you, where's the best place?
And please forgive me. I don't want to sound over the top. I really just learned this from a couple of fans. Google me. I think everything pops up. That's so crazy to even you to see that. I literally had to do that one day. I Googled myself and I'm like, oh my God. But yes, Google me, Akil T. Ashakur, or Akil Ashakur on Facebook. Again, Akil Ashakur, Instagram, Akil the Actor, YouTube, again, Akil Ashakur, and my background is not showing now, but Empowered Minds. I do a lot of, again, self-improvement videos to spiritual videos as well. So, yes, and don't want to plug, but...
Catch them on TV. Grab your popcorn. Grab your popcorn, guys.
Been blessed to be a recognizable face on Law & Order SVU and quite a few other Digwood projects and some movies and on television. And something that I really just found out, I didn't know that I'm actually presented as one of the faces when they do the Peacock advertisement for the shows. And someone's telling me, he's like, I see you every day. I was like, impossible. And he was like, no, I see you every day. And I was like, really? It's like, wow. So that's an honor within itself. Small town country boy that made an affirmation at 9 years old to his baby sister that one day, this is what I would do. And that's what has been the instilling in my family that we do. And my daughter, she did bless me about a couple of weeks ago. I read a post and I confirmed it with her. And she said in the post, I just saw it and it brought me to tears. I didn't tell her that part, but she says, my father made legends. And what else can you say? I'm a blessed husband and father.
Well, Akil, well, Jayla, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here, for telling your story, for being raw and open about the journey that you've been on. And I wish you both the best.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks for having us, Christopher. Thank you. Yes.
And for your fans, Christopher, I want them to know that this wasn't just a pop-up. I've appreciated you ever since learning of you and knowing you for years, as my wife Tanisha was in Thomas Coulomb Law School. And you've always been a familiar face and always a pleasant person to talk to. And back then it was also Go Lug Nuts.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you've always been special in our lives too. So thank you. Thank you ever so much. And for my first interview, I think I did that with Dad with Sons some time ago. We did an article. So I applaud the work that you're doing. And if I could be of help, please give me a call. Thank you, sir.
If you've enjoyed today's episode of the Dads with Daughters podcast, we invite you to check out the Fatherhood Insider. The Fatherhood Insider is the essential resource for any dad that wants to be the best dad that he can be. We know that no child comes with an instruction manual, and most dads are figuring it out as they go along. And the Fatherhood Insider is full of resources and information that will up your game on fatherhood. Through our extensive course library, interactive forum, step-by-step roadmaps, and more, you will engage and learn with experts, but more importantly, dads like you. So check it out at fatheringtogether.org. If you are a father of a daughter and have not yet joined the Dads with Daughters Facebook community, there's a link in the notes today. Dads with Daughters is a program of Fathering Together. We look forward to having you back for another great guest next week, all geared to helping you raise strong, empowered daughters and be the best dad that you can be.
We're all in the same boat, and it's full of tiny screaming passengers. We spend the time, we give the lessons, we make the meals, we buy them presents. Bring your A game, 'cause those kids are growing fast. The time goes by just like a dynamite blast. Calling astronauts and firemen, carpenters and muscle men, get out and be the world to them. Be the best dad you can be. Be the best dad you can be.